You may have heard the story recently of Joe DiMeo, the 22-year-old from New Jersey who was horribly disfigured in a car accident. Well, last week, doctors announced that 6 months ago, he had a double hand transplant and a face transplant. It is the first successful transplant surgery of its kind in the world. Joe's surgeon, Dr. Eduardo Rodriguez at NYU Langone Health, joins us now. And before we bring him in, a warning that some people may find the details of this story disturbing. Doctor, welcome to Here and Now.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. And first, tell me about Joe DiMeo's case and how he came to you.
Joe's a remarkable individual and had an unfortunate set of circumstances. He was driving home following a night shift and fell asleep on a pretty busy highway and rolled over his car. Fortunately, an innocent bystander crossed the median and pulled him out of the car right before it exploded. But at that point, he had already sustained third-degree burns of his skin and about 80% of his body. He was taken to an acute burn center in New Jersey where he was in a medically induced coma for approximately 3.5 months, underwent multiple procedures. I got to see him in March of 2019. His accident was in July of 2018. And at that point, the close examination of his face and his hands were pretty bad off. His face was severely scarred. Eyelids were melted together. Didn't have much of a nose. The ears were burnt off. The lips were all scarred together. His neck was scarred. He had such thick scarring around his hands. His hands were like mittens. And he couldn't really use his hands well.
Did you think that you'd be able to help him?
Yes. The face, for sure, we could treat. But when I looked at his hands, I had never done a hand transplant before. And when I thought about combining the face and the hands, looking back at the history, there had been 2 attempts in the world, and I know that both of them were unsuccessful. So that was kind of in the back of my mind.
Well, that is just so remarkable, Doctor, that you are able to do for the first time a hand, double hand transplant and a face transplant. I'm not even sure which one to focus on first, the face or the hands. But as far as a surgery goes, which one is most noteworthy to you?
Well, it's always patient-centered. And when I asked Joe, what's most important to you? He said his hands. He said, without my hands, I can't gain my independence and I can't go back to work. And without my hands, I can't drive. And I go, I appreciate that. I understand that. But without a face, your eyelids won't work and you won't be able to have a visual field to drive and do your work. And he understood that. And that's when I said, I think we're going to have to do your face and hands together. I put together a team of face and hand surgeons within my department. We met as a group. We discussed the options. And then we began to rehearse for such an operation in a simulation lab.
Well, I want to get to all of this, but let's talk about the surgery itself. How intensive and difficult is that surgery? I understand you were in the operating room, I think, almost an entire day.
Yes, that's correct. I lead the team, and I've been the one that's been involved in 3 prior face transplants, so I understand the setting and how things work, because in a transplant, it's a totally different set of rules, because when you have a donor, time is of the essence, because there are people whose lives depend on receiving those life-saving organs. So we have to time this perfectly. And when we look at Joe's scenario, he is right-hand dominant. So my primary focus was on amputating his existing damaged right hand and replacing it with the new donor hand. If the right hand was moving along well, then we would perform the completion amputation on the left hand and then reattach the new left donor hand. And if that was moving along well, then we would remove his existing scarred face and replace it with a new face. So all of that had to occur perfectly, well orchestrated, without missing a beat. To get to that point, we have to practice, think about, rehearse, study a great deal.
I want to ask you, I want to find a sensitive way to ask this question. The donor, was the donor of the hands and the face the same person? And how did you arrange that?
Yes, the face and hand donor was the same person. And that helps us craft the very selective immune suppressive medication regimen, because Joe will have to be on anti-rejection meds for the rest of his life.
Yeah.
And Peter, if we see any changes in the antibody profile over time, we can actually treat it before it actually becomes a full-blown rejection. So receiving tissues from one donor helps us a great deal.
So as you've said, there are chances for rejection, of course, in any transplant surgery. But how is Joe doing now? I've read that he's actually, this is astounding, he's able to lift weights and has a pretty strong grip. Is that right?
That is correct. That is correct. It's impressive, Peter, when you see him. There's so many elements of Joe that made him the ideal candidate, but I think the biggest one is that he has such a spirit, and that's what allows him to persevere. And beyond survival, it's, you know, I'm going to overcome any adversity. And he's a guy, he often uses the term, you know, I roll with the punches, and, you know, literally he does, and he just keeps going. He doesn't give up. But watching him at the gym working out, just to see these hands that were transplanted from one person and they're on him now, it's remarkable. His grip strength is pretty strong. Every day he gains more and more intrinsic hand function. Intrinsic hand function gives you the ability kind of to spread your fingers in your hand, bring them together, move them around independently. And that continues to improve as the nerves continue to regenerate. But he's an impressive individual.
I mean, it sounds like it. I would imagine, though, that he does have many challenges ahead of him, and I wonder how many of those will be emotional challenges, because it seems almost beyond human comprehension to think that a person could look in a mirror and see themselves with a different face. How do people handle that? You've done a few of these surgeries.
Yeah. Patients don't have an identity crisis when they have a face from someone else. Their identity crisis is existing when they look at themselves in the mirror with the deformity that they have. That's the crushing blow. And I've seen that when we give these patients a new face with normal anatomic features, in other words, normal eyelids, a normal nose, cheeks, lips, ears, and they look in the mirror and that face begins to adapt to their underlying skeleton, they will all tell you unanimously that that face is them. When they look in the mirror, they see themselves. These patients are very accepting of their new face, and they say it is them, and they move on their lives. It's what we've seen. It's remarkable.
It's remarkable for Joe DiMeo. It's also remarkable for medicine. I mean, you say that nothing like this has ever happened before, in the sense that there has been a face and double hand transplant at the same time. So congratulations to you also. I mean, how are you feeling about all this?
I feel great, Peter. I'll tell you. And when I thought about this, because there have been two previous attempts, one in France and one here in our own country in Boston, and they both failed. Actually, the patient in France had unfortunate infectious complications that led to his demise. And the patient here in Boston, the face survived, but the hands had to be removed 5 days after the procedure. Throughout the world, there have been over 100 hand transplants performed successfully and close to 50 faces. I couldn't find a reason in my mind why we could not do these two elements together. And that's what we proved. And if we could procure tissues from one donor and perform these transplants, that just offers patients tremendous amount of hope. And it gives us more opportunities to help people. And that just, you know, science and medicine is advancing all the time. And that's just a great breakthrough for all of us.
You say Joe was sort of like one of the most dedicated patients you've ever seen. Tell me a little bit more about Joe, the person. What should we know about him?
Well, when I met Joe, his nickname was Joey Whispers, because he wasn't a guy that talked a lot, but, you know, very confident. He's healthy, likes to be with his friends, sociable, and actually a great sense of humor. And then when you look at him now, after the transplant, we joke around, and I call him Joey Hollywood, because now he's like talking to everyone. You know, he feels great. You know that this was the right operation for him, and it kind of resets the clock for him. And I'm so glad that he's doing so well.
Dr. Eduardo Rodriguez at NYU Langone Health, what a story. Thank you so much for taking some time to tell us about it.
My pleasure. Thank you, Peter, for the interview.